You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Okay, so we are on week two of this series called Not On My Watch, and with this, technology is always fun. With this series, what we've been talking about, where we're going over these 2 months, is this concept of what you just saw in those clips, and I love how that whole thing came together. But the idea of saying that there's an issue, there's a situation, there's a problem, there's a scenario, and stepping up and saying, not on my watch. I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going to ignore that when I'm around. And looking at this idea as Christ followers, how we are supposed to do that in all these different things that we're going to be talking about over the course of these 2 months. And of course, these issues we're looking at are what we call the core values of our church here, MC3. The idea of these are kind of the things that guide us in terms of what we do and why we do what we do. So when we talk about this not on my watch, I hope you get that theme throughout the course of this series to say, you know, it's easy to sit back and say, yeah, someone else will do that. Oh, that's someone else's problem, or I'm not that spiritual, or I'm not whatever, and make excuses, and really, that's unacceptable. Because as followers of Jesus, these are things that we're supposed to do. And so as a church, instead of saying, well, that's Sean's job, that's the elder's job, that's the ministry team coordinator's job, that's that other person's job, we say, no, not on my watch. This is my job. And the little tagline we have is, my community, my responsibility. So we're going to be chewing on that over the course of these 2 months, to not be able to sit back and say, hope someone else deals with that, but to say, no, not on my watch. This is something that I'm going to deal with. This is something I'm going to handle, and not hold off on that. And of course, many of you a couple weeks ago walked the wire that we had up on this platform saying, I'm all in. And part of being all in and making that commitment that you did is to say that, you know what, I'm not going to let that happen on my watch. I'm not going to let someone else walk away from Jesus on my watch. I'm not going to let someone else lose a connection with someone. I'm not going to let them see their relationship fall away with another person. I'm not going to let them, well, as you saw in some of the videos, I'm not going to let them, you know, change their attitude. I'm not going to let their marriage fall apart. I mean, all these things, we're going to say, no, not on my watch. I'm stepping up and I'm doing something about it. So, as we get into that, we're going to be looking at an idea today about being fake. And fake is always fun. I guess. I'm not sure what that means. But I need... It's so quiet without the hum of the air conditioners. I need some volunteers. Why don't we kick the house lights on? I'm going to need... I could use just one volunteer. And this volunteer, and this is not going to be any physical activity, but I need someone to come up here and help me with a mental challenge that is going to require some skill and brain power and careful deduction and sleuthering. So think like Sherlock. Okay, so any volunteer? Okay, Dave, I seem to have been told that you are volunteering. So thank you. Why don't we give it up for Dave to come on up here and help us with our sleuthering. All right, excellent. I appreciate that. So now here's what's going to happen. Now you don't look. Well, you can look there. I guess you can look there or there. Either one. It's the same thing. So we're gonna talk about fake. Okay, and your challenge is going to be to spot the fake. Okay, so I'm going to show you a couple of options, and we'll even go back and forth. I'll give you that to let you decide which one is real and which one is fake. Now, there's quite a few here. So this is going to take some serious, like, paying attention and focus.
I'm not very good at that. I'm going
to
get shot.
That is so good to know. This is so good. All right, I want to give up again for him. Yes. We got some encouragement here. Okay, why don't you pretend to be focused? Okay, so we're going to go back and forth, but we'll start with the very first one here. So here's your two options. You're going to decide which one is the real one and which one is the fake one. Okay, why don't we give option number one? crushed. Okay, hold on. Think. Stay focused here. Now here's option number two. Okay, crushed. Okay, let's go back to option one real quick just in case. Okay, crushed.
That's fake.
You think that's fake?
That's not even real.
Okay, what do you guys think? Now you can help. You think he's correct? Yes, you are right. Option number one is fake. Number two is the real. Now that was an easy one.
That was.
So there's nine of these, and so you've gotten one out of nine right so far.
That's not bad.
No, that is not bad.
A decent label.
Oh, I don't even know what that means, but okay. Yes, you do that. Here's the next one. Spot the fake. Okay, which one is... Okay, there's option number one. I need to move my table so we can see a little bit better here. Option number one. Okay. All right, paying attention. Now, this is a little harder.
Okay.
Now, option number two. Okay. So, option number one. Lego Star Wars there, set, see, okay. And then option number two. You think the second one's fake? Option number two is fake. All right, everybody agree? All right. So, yes, you are correct. Option number two is fake. I don't even know what Space Wars is. There was a really fun one that I found online, which was it said, like, Star Sheriff or something like that. And it was Darth Vader riding on a police motorcycle in space. It wasn't a special motorcycle; it was just a regular police motorcycle in space. So, but anyway, that was kind of cool. Just even if it wasn't fake, I want that, right? Okay, here's your next set of options here. So, next clue here. Option number one looks like if you can see there, a little Rolex. You see that? Okay, we'll see. Maybe not. It could be. You pay attention. Okay, now option number two. Okay, no, you need to think about this one for a second here. Okay, so there's option number two. Go back to option number one. Option number two. Go back to, are you sure that option number two is fake? Okay, I think you're correct. So you're right about that one, too. All right, so you are 3 for 9, which is 1/3. If you, what? Yeah. Okay, there you go. Talk about that. Like, yeah, so you're whatever that is. Okay, so here we go. We gotta go a little faster here, I suppose. All right, give us our option number one, the next set. Okay. DVD cover for Break So Bad. And, okay. All right, option number two. DVD cover Breaking Bad. Okay, get back to option number one. Bryan Cranston. There's the actor there, yeah. Okay, and then... option number two, Bryan Cranston again. You think option number one's fake? Go back to number one there. What makes you think it's fake? That it's a comedy scene and it says, the lonely man must use chemistry in making most potent of drugs, metho something, danger and sections, threat comes to man, family. All right, yeah, so there's definitely... Okay, so option number one is fake. You are correct again. So that is now 4 out of 9, which is some number as well, percentage-wise. Okay, go to 2 there real quick so we can go to the next one. All right, now here's your next set of clues here. Which one is real, which one is fake?
Okay.
A Nintendo Polystation made by Namco.
Okay, all right.
Just don't hold your judgment. Okay, now the second option here is a Sony PlayStation. Okay, go back. Nintendo Polystation?
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
Or, or Sony PlayStation.
One is fake.
Would you agree? All right, you are correct again. So you were like 5 out of more than 9. So you're like 5/90.
That's pretty good, right?
I think so. That sounds like, yeah, your sleuthering is working really well here.
I was too
when you raised your hand. Conveniently, you didn't raise your hand. So, all right. Let's go to the next set of clues here. Okay, so Starbucks coffee. Okay, or Sunbucks coffee. Okay, go back. Starbucks coffee. Sunbucks coffee. Which one is the fake?
That is fake.
You think that is fake? All right, everybody. All right, that is correct. That is the fake. So, how many are we at now? Six. So I think we have 3 more to go, if I did my math right. All right, so six out of 9. So you're like 2/3, because I did quick math there. Did you see that? 6/9 is also 2/3. Yeah, and that's also 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, You could. Yeah, you're right. That's a pretty good batting. Okay. All right. So let's move on. All right. Now, next option here. Option number one, Pizza Hut. Okay. Now, pay attention. Pizza Hat. Okay. Well, reserve your judgment. Pizza Hut or Pizza Hat? No Pizza Hat. You think that, does that not sound appetizing to you? Actually, Pizza Hut doesn't really sound that appetizing either. Like, oh, I'm going to go to a hut and eat some pizza. It does. Where in the world is her pizza? All right. So Pizza Hat is correct or incorrect. So that is the fake one. So you are correct in your correct assumption of the incorrect one.
I'm sleuthering.
You are totally sleuthering. Yes. All right. Now we're at, is that seven? I think that was seven. So there's, I think, two more. So we'll see. All right. Next option here. Okay. Option number one. Pay attention. Okay. This is a little trickier. I'm not going to say anything now. Option number two. Okay, go back to option number one. Option number two. Back to number one. So you think that Nikie is not an appropriate, that's not correct?
No, I think that was blocked back out.
Okay, all right. So option number one, again, is the fake. So you are 8 out of 9. So even if we end right here, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I just said you got 8 out of 9 right. I didn't say anything about awesomeness. I didn't. Okay. All right. I'm actually removing that part away. It's yoinked. Okay. Okay, good. All right, here we go. This is the last one. So you can go for, like, full-on perfection here. I'm not going to say anything. Just pay attention, okay? Option number one. Option number two. What? You, Robert Cop? Well, go back to option number one. So you think RoboCop is appropriate, but option number two, Robert Cop 3 is not.
No.
Okay, what gave it away?
Well,
his name's, what's his name, like Murphy, right? Alex Murphy, I think?
Yeah,
so it's not even Robert. I'm not even sure there. So Robert Cop is not an actual toy. So Robert Cop is, in fact, fake.
Yeah.
So you are perfect. You're not awesome. But you're perfect. All right. So why don't we give it up for Dave? Thank you very, very much. And our clue to spot, our quiz to spot the fake. The thing is, we can tell fakes. And not just when it comes to buying products and things like that, but when it comes to faking it in real life, in the way we live and the way we act towards other people. And the point that I want us to get this week, when we talk about this idea of not on my watch, is that on my watch, the commitment that we're making here, on my watch, I will be real with others. On my watch, I will be real with others. Because we can all spot a fake a mile away, and I'll be saying more about that in a bit. But this idea of being real, like, we need to be real as followers of Jesus. And it doesn't mean you, like, walk up to somebody on the street and say, "Hi, I've never met you. Let me share all of my deepest, darkest secrets." That's kind of awkward. But it does mean there should be people in your lives, in our lives, especially maybe people in this room that are part of the body of Christ, who we can go up to and say, "Let me tell you about my deepest, darkest secrets." And not put on a mask, not be fake, not be the Nike, not be the Nikes or the Robert Cops or the Pizza Hats, but be the real deal. So on my watch, I'll be real with others because my community is my responsibility. The core value that we're looking at here as a church is authenticity. Authenticity. And this is our core value. Again, you can find these on our website, mc3church.org. Core value. There we go. Authenticity. And that is this. We are accepted by God where we are. We are accepted by God where we are. Therefore, we value being real with each other about our failures, successes, and flaws. And that has a value as a church. Like, these are kind of our guardrails. These are things that keep us, you know, in check, in focus for what we do, why we do it. And one of the things we want to be is be real. We want to be honest. Like, I want to be up in front of you and say, "Yeah, I am lead pastor, but that doesn't mean anything about my perfection." About my, you know, Dave was perfect with 9 for 9, but I'm pretty sure he's not a perfect human. Actually, I'm sorry, Dave, but I know you're not, because we're not. None of us are. And to pretend that we're perfect is wrong. And when we pretend that we're perfect, and I'm getting ahead of myself, we miss out on the opportunity that we have to grow in Jesus. Because if we're perfect, we don't need Him. If everything's okay, we don't need help. And frankly, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of people. And there's a situation even just this past week of someone, no, I'm good, I'm done, I'm out, I don't need any help, I'm fine. And it's like, no, you're not. We're imperfect. We need each other. And so the core value is authenticity, to say, God has accepted us where we are, and therefore we're going to be real with each other. And again, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but that is the core value we're looking at. But we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, if you have your Bibles, the YouVersion app, you can tap on Romans, you can tap on 15. And we're going to be looking at these couple of verses here. And I'll just read it for you and then break it down a little bit. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please Himself, but, as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you... Next slide. Give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. And so I want to take a few minutes just to look at this passage and talk about why. Like, I don't think we choose to be fake. Like, I don't think it's a, like, you know what? I was going to be real today, but instead I'm going to be fake. I think it almost is like this, there's this expectation that people place on us. There's this expectation, or that we think that people place on us. And we have to have this, everything looks good, the outward appearance, everything is perfect. My life is perfect. My job is perfect. Everything is perfect about me. And I think that's culture. I think that's our sin. I think that's maybe people that we've been around, maybe people we've grown up with, situations and kind of all around us. But we become fake. We like to put on this facade. We put on this mask to pretend to be something that we're not. And honestly, one of the things I love about MC3 is just that people are real here sometimes, usually, often. Sometimes they're so real that it's almost like, ooh, that's real. That's kind of raw. And that's okay, because I think there's more that God can do with that. Not that God can't do anything, but there's more that can happen through us if we're willing to be open and honest and real. And so I just want to give you some reasons from this passage. Paul wrote this letter to the church in Rome. And this was a church that he planted, and there were some issues going on with this church, but he shared some things here that can help us learn how we can ditch the fake, how we can get rid of the fake, why we can get rid of the fake. So that's what I want to talk about here, is just some things about ditching the fake. Excuse me. Let me talk about choking on water. Why don't you read this? We can be real because there's some reasons we can be real. It's okay to be real. We can be vulnerable. We can be authentic with each other because, number one, we all have weaknesses. We all do. We all have areas where we fail. We all have areas where we don't quite measure up. And sometimes those are just part of kind of who we are, maybe our personality, some of our upbringing. Sometimes those are just situationally based, and there's certain times where we can be okay here but not okay over there. I mean, one example for me would be, you know, many of you know me as a pretty nice person. And if you say things or don't do things, I'm usually like, oh, well, okay, that'll work out. I'm not usually that way to my family, unfortunately. I'm usually not that nice and kind and gentle, because I have weaknesses. I fail. And not that that's good. We'll talk about that next week. We're not cool with sin. But we're just understanding that we all have weaknesses. There's issues that we all struggle with. And here in verse 1, what Paul says is, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now, I need to explain a little bit about context. During the crop series, we talked about, you know, we can't just look at one verse. We need to look at what's going on in the story. Well, in chapter 14, Paul just finished talking with the church in Rome about some of the issues that people have, because some people were doing some things that were offending other people, and they weren't. Well, you know, it was basically about food offered to idols and some other rules, and it was offensive to some people but not other people. And Paul basically was like, look, we all have struggles. We all have issues and failings and weaknesses in different areas. And if you're around someone that struggles with that, then respect them. And it might not be a struggle for you, but it might be a struggle for them. An example might be alcoholism. If you know someone that struggles with alcoholism, you know, you might not have any kind of an issue with that. But if that's the case, you don't invite someone over to your home and then offer them a few beers and a glass of wine. Why? Does it mean that they're less spiritual than you? No. It's just that's an issue they have. That's a struggle. You know, that's why you don't invite someone to go to Vegas with you if they have a gambling problem. Maybe invite them to go somewhere else. Because it's not an issue of you being better or them less. It's just we struggle with different things at different times. And so that's what he's saying here is, look, you know, in chapter 14, people have different issues. And then he goes on in chapter 15, verse 1, and says, look, if we are strong in an area, we need to... Oh, it's okay. Go back. If we are strong in an area, we need to bear with the failings of the weak. If there's an area where we're doing all right, like just recognize that. Recognize that other people struggle with different things. And this is one of the, I think, one of the hard parts about maybe being a human, maybe about being a Christ follower, is that it's easy to look at someone else and be like, if that's not our struggle, it's easy to look at them and say, oh, what's your problem? Because we can easily judge and kind of condemn and say, what's up with you? Why do you struggle with that? Because we don't struggle with that. But it's still sin. It's still offensive to God. And so Paul's saying, look, let's bear with one another. Let's just kind of hang out. And we said that the verses we're looking at over these series are the one another passages, and we'll get to that at the end of this section here. But he says, just bear with them. Put up with them. Because everyone is weak. We all have issues where we are weaker and stronger. And you might not struggle with alcoholism, but maybe you struggle with anger. And maybe your issue isn't gambling, but maybe it's lust. And so there's all these different issues. And Paul is just saying, look, we all fall short. We all fail. We all have weaknesses. And so let's just recognize that and be real about it. And bear with them. And this isn't to please ourselves, as we'll see in a moment. This isn't for us. This isn't so I'm like, I'm more superior to you because I deal with your sin problem. No. It's because, like, we all have sin issues. We all have weaknesses. We all have failures. And so I'm going to bear with you with your failings because I want you to bear with me because of mine. Because we all have weaknesses. So right away, that kind of dashes the whole... Oh, I'm going to act perfect. Well, as soon as you act perfect, well, the word act right there, there's this assumption that I'm superior. And we all know that we all have issues. So let's not pretend that we don't. So the first thing is we can be real because we all have weaknesses. The second reason we can be real is because we all need each other to grow. We need each other to grow. And I understand the Holy Spirit, certainly, He works inside of us. As we are a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit has come to live in us. God lives in us, and He changes us from the inside out. But in some other kind of crazy supernatural way, God created the church, the body of believers, the followers of Jesus, to also interact with one another so that the Holy Spirit uses each other to help us grow. And that's what He says here in verses 2 to 3, is that we need each other to grow. He says each of us should please our neighbors for their good. We should help them. We should put up with them for their good to build them up. And the Greek word here is interesting because we need to build each other up. But it actually literally means a building, an edifice, a physical structure. That it is something that is real. It's not just an act, but we are in a building. We are in a physical structure that was constructed. And he says, for us, we need to put up with our neighbors. We need to bear with each other's weaknesses so that we can help them for their good to build them up. And see, I need you to put up with my weaknesses. Because if you got fed up with the times I messed up and ditched me, I mean, one, I'd be done. And I mean, so would you. Like, we need each other. And we can't do this and say, okay, you know what? You let me down. I'm never going to talk to you again. I'm tired of you. whatever. No, we all have struggles. We all have weaknesses, and we need to build each other up. And then he goes on and says that Christ, he didn't please himself. He wasn't doing this for his own benefit. Instead, the insults of those that insult you, it's a quote from Psalms, has fallen on him. And so Christ's attitude is the same way. Wasn't about himself, and we know that from other passages in the Bible as well, that Jesus didn't go to the cross for fun. He didn't go to the cross for himself. He went to the cross for us. And so he knows that we have weaknesses, and therefore was willing to put up with us because of that. And so that's something we need to understand, is that when we are real with each other, it allows other people to help build us up. Because everyone is perfect. If you're perfect, you don't need help. I mean, if the paint job on the house is fine, you don't need to do a recoat. It's just the way things are. I mean, if everything is good, nobody needs to touch it up. You don't need to worry about it. But in our lives, if we're pretending that and we don't allow other people in, we miss out on the fact that we can actually be built up and grow and learn and become more like Jesus, because that's for our benefit. So just understanding that this idea of being fake, it isn't just shallow, because again, you're fake to me. What? Like, you don't poop? Your poop doesn't stink? No, you do. It does. That's just life. We all do it, but we pretend like we don't. And it's this idea of pretending like everything's fine. And then when we do that, then no one is able to help us when we actually need help. When we actually need to get through. We need to stay not on my watch. All right, and then the third reason we can be real, it's because we all can overcome together. He goes on in Romans 15, verse 5, and says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives you endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So he's saying, look, by together, coming together, we can encourage one another, we can make it through, we can overcome. And I think that's the sad part too, is we were just having a conversation about this a few weeks ago, about how, and again, not implying that MC3 is perfect, but the true community, the relationships, the church that we got going on here, and again, I'm not talking about this room or the worship service, is so unique. And how, like, if there's a need and we share it, people are like, okay, I'm there. I'm fixing it. I'm helping you. I'm going to meet your need. I'm going to care for you. I'm going to say the hard things. I'm going to say the easy things. I'm going to encourage you, whatever. That is unique, but that's the way the church was made. And I've talked to people, and they're like, yeah, I just have no one. I have no one. Like, don't you go to church? Yeah, they don't really want to. They don't care. Whatever. And that's not always true. But this idea of that together, we can be encouraged. There's endurance. It's not like we can get through this. Maybe it's hard for you to get through what you're going through right now, but together we can. Together, because of the endurance taught in the Scriptures, we can overcome. And the word here, he goes on and says, "May God give who gives the endurance." So understand that. We can get this together because God will give us the endurance to have the same attitude toward each other that Christ Jesus had, which was not about self. It wasn't about me. It's about helping others. "So that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I think this is so cool, this idea of attitude of mind. It's made of two words. The first word is auto, which means self, same. And the second word is phronio, which means to have, to think, to have a mind. So he says, look, come together, bear with one another, deal with their weaknesses, be there to help build them up. And then together, we're going to glorify Jesus. We're going to glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like, the idea is that when we do this, God gets the glory. It's not even about us. And when God gets the glory, it means because we're doing things more like Jesus. We're becoming more like Him. And God is getting the credit. So when we have issues, when we're willing to be transparent, when we're willing to get together, and of course, I'm not going to apologize. We're going to be talking about prime groups. They start this week. This is intentionally today. If you're saying, nah, I don't need people, you're wrong. You need a group of people that you can share your weaknesses, that you can be open, and then have those people come and build you up. And you know what? It might be hard. You might be going through some really, really nasty stuff. But here Paul says, you know what? Together, God will give us the endurance and the encouragement to get through it. And so that together, with the same attitude, the same mindset, we're all in this together, we can glorify God through it. And that's what's going on in these situations. That's what Paul's saying here. Is like, look, if we're not willing to be real, then we're not going to be able to be built up. And if we're not going to be able to be built up, we're not going to be able to share with other people to help us through these hard times. So you're going to be all on your own through the difficult situations. And then, of course, it can be like, God, why did you let this happen? Or, you know what, I'm done, or I don't care, or whatever. And we miss the fact that this is what God designed us as the church to be. Because we need each other. So we can be real because we all have weaknesses. We all need each other to grow. We all can overcome together. And finally, and ultimately, we all are accepted by Jesus. And that's what Paul says there in verse 7. He says, accept one another. Accept one another. Then, next slide. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. So like this whole idea of connections, of acceptance, of one another, saying, you know what, you've got junk, you've got weaknesses, and I'm going to accept it, even if your weakness grates on me. Why? Because we're followers of Jesus. And together, we can make it through these situations. And then I need to recognize, you know what, I'm pretty sure that my sin grated on Jesus. I'm pretty sure that my sin was painful to Him. And He didn't say, you know what, Sean, that's it, you're done. Sorry, that's too much. No, He went to the cross. He accepted me. And He's accepted each of us. And so how dare we say to someone else that God has said, I accept you, say, no, I don't. I know God did that, but apparently I'm better than God because I choose not to accept you. We need these relationships. We need these connections so that we can get through the issue. And that's what Paul's saying here is, look, we've all got junk in our lives. We've all got stuff that we have to deal with. And let's just be open about it. And together we'll build each other up. And when we build each other up, we can overcome this. And let's just remember that this is what Jesus did for us. And that's what Romans 15, 1-7 is all about. We can be real because we all have weaknesses. Because we all need each other to grow. Because we all can overcome together. And we all are accepted by Jesus. So, again, there's this tension that lives within us. This struggle to say, I don't know, I don't want to let them in. And let me be honest. I mean, we've been burned. You've been burned by people. People are mean. People are sinful. People are human. And we have to trust that God knows what He's doing here. Because, I don't know, I mean, if you've opened up to someone and they've taken your story and twisted it, or they've used it to get a promotion, or used it in your face, or told other people about it, gossiped about it in school, whatever. And the issue here we need to remember is that we still can't stop. We can't hold it in. We can't build up walls. We can't be fake. Because as soon as we're fake, we don't need help. And if we don't need help, we're in trouble. Because we do need help. And so we need to be real with one another. And that's the commitment with the point today, is that on my watch, I will be real with others. And so I just ask you, as a human being, as a follower of Jesus, to recognize, you know what, everybody's got issues. And if your sin is different than my sin, it doesn't mean that I'm superior to you. But also, on the other side of that, and we'll talk more about that next week, about grace and extending that. But on our part, we need to say, I'm willing to open myself up. Because if we're unwilling to open ourselves up, we are not going to be able to grow, to be effective. I mean, think about it. If you go to a doctor and you go to the doctor and you have a pain, you have a serious issue, you can't move your arm. But if you go to the doctor and the doctor says, how are you doing? And you're like, I'm fine. I'm good. And the doctor says, oh, well, you seem to have full range of motion. I guess you're okay. And you walk out of there. It didn't help you with your problem. We need to go to the doctor and say, yeah, the other day I was doing something and I have this pain shooting right down here. And then the doctor can say, oh, well, it could be a number of things. Let's perform some tests. Let's maybe physically open you up and look and see what the problem is so that we can fix it. But if you go to a doctor and you have an issue and you pretend that you don't, you're not going to get any help and it's not going to get any better. And that's the way it works for us as followers of Jesus. We need to recognize that we've all got junk. We just need to be willing to be vulnerable and to say, hey, here's my stuff. Here's the things that I'm dealing with. And, you know, here's the crazy, beautiful thing about the church is that if we're really being what Jesus has called us to be, if we're really being the church, I've watched usually those situations where someone's like, yeah, you know what? I actually, that's my issue too. Thanks for being willing to share, because that's me. And maybe together. And then all of a sudden, I mean, you just kind of watch these dominoes fall as God begins to work through people that are willing to be vulnerable. And so maybe that's you. You need to be the commitment to say, on my watch, I want to be real. If no one else around me is real, and again, I'm talking about within the confines of church and in the confines of appropriate relationships, not that you can't be real people outside of the church, but you know what I'm saying. This isn't just random person on the street, your checkout person at Walmart, you know, like, there's appropriate and inappropriate times to be real, but commit to say, I'm going to be real. I'm going to be real with other people. I'm going to be involved in a prime group so that I can be real with other people. So, I want to pause kind of this idea and review something that we have talked about a lot, but haven't talked about a lot lately. And that is the C3 discipleship process that we have as a church. Back at the beginning of MC3, over 6 years ago now, we said, you know, if we're going to start a church, what should it look like? How do we want to do this thing that God has called us? We are told, Jesus says, to make disciples, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Do we need to make disciples or make more disciples? And as we said, I think it was last week, we were talking about sharing to the next generation. You know, here we are, 2,000 some years later, because just human beings shared the message of Jesus with more human beings, and generations later, here we are. And so we said, let's look back at the beginning. What did the early church look like? So we went to this passage in Acts chapter 2 that kind of gave a summary of the church. And this is what Acts chapter 2 says in verse 42 to 47, I believe it is, 46. He says, they devoted themselves, this kind of description of the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together. Next slide. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so what we did is, because let's look at this passage and say, okay, what are some of the things we see there? And we narrowed it down to basically three main areas, which, again, if you've been at MC3 for more than a year or two, you've heard this so many times that you're tired of it, but I'm not, because I want us to stay focused on what God has called us to do as a church. And the first thing that we saw was this idea of community. And we saw it in beginning in verse 42. So I think there's another slide here. Yeah, there we go. They're kind of underlined. I don't know if you can see it out there. But we saw that they devoted themselves to a number of things. And one of them was to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And this idea that fellowship isn't just hanging out and eating a snack after church, but that they were involved intimately, accepting one another in each other's lives, being real with one another. And with breaking of bread and prayer, meaning they were spending time together praying, they were spending time together worshiping, even in that sense. And then it goes on and says, all the believers were together in verse 44. All the believers were together and had everything in common. So they spent time together. And then on the next slide here, we see that there's one more spot here. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They were literally together in life. They spent time doing what we have called C1, and that is community. They were involved in community, in relationships with each other, connected to one another. And that's what the early church was known for. And at MC3, we are intentional about doing something about that. And so we have prime groups. We want every one of you who are part of MC3 to be in a prime group. Why? Because the early church was, because Jesus throughout the New Testament, not just Jesus, but the entire New Testament talks about the importance of the church being in each other's lives, one another, accept one another, therefore. Be together, be connected, be in community, because we're not designed to be alone. Like, that is not a church concept. We're supposed to be connected to one another. And what you're doing right now is not community. You're staring front at somebody. We don't do this anywhere else except lectures in school. This isn't community. This is just, hey, good to see you. And maybe we have community in the sense that before or afterwards we talk and get deep and share some things. But don't mistake. Just being physically present is not community. That is not deep, meaningful relationships. But that was what the early church did. And so we have prime groups. And then the second thing that we saw there is, and this is a discipleship process. Jesus said, makes disciples. So how do we make disciples? How do we get people involved? And so we saw that also they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They spent time together learning from someone who was teaching them. Such as what you're doing right now. Not that I'm an expert, not that I have all the information, by no means, but I guess in one sense I do have some education and I have time. I mean, this is my job. So I spend easily half of my week just reading the Bible. Just praying. Like, I know that's not really doing anything, but this is what I want to do because I want to be able to communicate God's word clearly and appropriately and effectively. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And then on the next slide, we see that they also, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. The temple was where they worshiped. That was the main large group meeting place. For the people that were in homes, they also met together in the temple courts. Now, we don't meet every day, but we meet every week in this large group meeting. And then later it says in verse 47 that they were praising God. They were worshiping. There was an aspect of worship. And so that's what this is. And we call this gathering of people, this bringing together, this congregating, C2, congregation. And this is a process. And so, and we try to make this simple so that we can say, you know what, I can share that with someone. Tell me about your church. Oh, let me tell you. C3. MC3, Mifflin County Community Church. Community, congregation. And of course, for congregation, we say, let's make something that ties into what the early church did, and you're in it. The worship experience is built around the idea of congregation, of worshiping God, coming together in a large group, learning, worshiping, experiencing God in that way. And so that is the worship experience. C2. And then as we continued on looking at the passage, there was one more thing that we pulled out of there as we did this kind of study back in the time. As verse 45, it says, they were selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he has need. So when there was a need, they said, okay, let's meet that need. Oh, I can't afford that. I'm going to sell something so I can do it. And then going on in the next part of the verse there, the next slide, it says, at the very end of verse 47, they were enjoying the favor of all the people. And this idea that everyone else, even the people outside of the church, was glad that the church was there. Why? Because they were there to help them. Because they were there. They're a meaningful part of the community, of the culture. They were a meaningful part of their society. And so we looked at that and said, okay, this church was also known for doing stuff, for meeting needs, for being there for each other. And we said, well, why don't we call that another C? Why don't we call that caring? And so C3, I'm running out of space. C3 is caring. And of course, this is a process here. Caring, not caring. Caring. And we have what we call C3 opportunities. And that's something that we're going to talk about in a couple more weeks. There are official things like we did with the CYS school supplies a few weeks back. By the way, there's a really nice thank you note from them out on the table in the lobby there. And then we've done, of course, our whole MC3 Missions program. is part of caring. It is a C3 opportunity for us to meet needs of a community in Oaxaca, Mexico, and we'll hear more about them in 2 weeks. But this idea of caring and saying, what are some needs that we can meet? But we also do that on a personal level, and that's really what we're going to hit in October, talking about this idea of how individually you can and have been meeting actual real needs. So we're going to be talking more about that. But this idea is a process, and so we see it as making disciples. And some people come right into the Sunday morning worship experience. Hey, this is great. I'm just glad. And then we say, okay, good. Get involved in community. Get involved in a prime group. Or we say, okay, and let's serve people around us. Some people, I'm not really into the big church thing. My church, your church will never accept me, whatever. So we say, hey, come to a small group. Just meet in my house. Come to our prime group. And there are people that have come in through that way. And we say, okay, good. Now that you're involved in a prime group, did I spell that right? Yeah. Why don't you come and get involved in the worship experience? Because as a follower of Jesus, we need community and we need congregation and we need to be cared for. We need to care for other people as well. And some people have never been to a prime group, never been to our worship experience, but was a neighbor to one of you and had a need. And so we said, hey, all right, we'll come together and we'll help meet that need. And they said, wow, what is this all about? Why would you do this for me? You don't even know me. Well, because Jesus has called us to care for other people. And that's what the early church did. And that draws them in as well to understanding, to becoming a disciple, which is just a fancy word for a follower of Jesus. And the other cool thing about this little process here, so it's a process. Some people jump in anywhere. Community, congregation, caring. C3, community, congregation, caring. Is that Jesus, in addition to the great commandment, which is what this fits under, or sorry, the great commission to make disciples, Jesus says, there's also this thing called the great commandment. And someone came to Jesus and said, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? We know the Ten Commandments, and if you know more about the Old Testament, there's lots and lots of laws and rules and stuff in the book of Leviticus and Exodus. And they said to Jesus, like, look, we know all this stuff. What's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, it's this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And this process is also a nice thing because over here in congregation, we're loving God. This is worship. We're loving God physically in a worship atmosphere. Not that we don't love God over here. I'm not implying that. But this is the congregation is the worship side. Go ahead and hit the slide there one more time. And then I think love of God should come up next. Maybe. Maybe not. Is it coming up? There we go. Okay. And then over here, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. And this is love others. And that's caring. That's being in relationship with each other. And this is what we do as a church. This is why we do what we do as a church. And everything that we do is part of this. We don't do a lot of other things. Why? Because we want to focus on doing these things and doing them well. We'll talk about simplicity in a few more weeks as well. But I wanted you to get this because as we talk about community, as we talk about prime groups and relationships and being real with each other, it's not just because we're like, yeah, it'd be cool to add that to our long list of things that we do. No, we think it's very essential to you as a follower of Jesus. That as a follower of Jesus, you need to be in community. And if you say you don't, you're wrong. I don't know how else to say it. Because Jesus says we do. We need one another. So, understanding that as context, there's going to be a review every few weeks here. And of course, at the very end of the series, there's going to be not a quiz, but you'll have a chance to write this down too. But to understand this process. So the point for this week was, on my watch, I will be real with others. I need community. I need relationship. I need authenticity. I need a place where I can open up and be honest and be transparent and be real about my issues, about my struggles, about my successes. Because we can celebrate together too. And let me tell you, it's cool. It's so cool to be with someone through a hard time and just pray and put your hand around them. One of the words we looked at was the word encouragement. The Greek word is paraclete. It means someone that comes alongside, that is a person that walks alongside through a situation. And it's fun going through a situation with someone. And it's not fun that we go through the hard times. I'm not saying that. But going through that hard time and coming out on the other side and being like, praise God, look what he did. There's nothing quite like that to be able to say, yeah. We're not perfect. still real, but to be able to say, look what God did through this situation. So the point is, on my watch, I will be real with others. So let me share a few things that are probably obvious and more emphasis on why you need to be involved in prime groups. Let's just talk about the benefits of being real. So we already saw that everybody, we all have problems, we all can share, we need each other to grow. But let's just go a step further and talk about the benefits of being real. And the first benefit, as Dave so wonderfully pointed out for us, is that fake is obvious. And I need you to get this. We know we can spot a fake anywhere except in a mirror. It's like we're vampires. We can see them anywhere else. Like, that person is totally fake. They're making that up right now. That's not real. We can tell that it's not what's going on. I remember one of our professors in college, I talked about meeting with him last week, I said how I would meet with him. And one of the things he would often say is, how are you doing? And I'd be like, oh, I'm fine. He'd say, no, how are you doing? Oh, you mean for real? You know, like this idea, like how's it going? Oh, it's going well. No, it's usually not. You know, sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. But this idea is that we can see someone when they're being fake. We can see it a mile away, but you can never see it in a mirror. You can never tell, like, wow, I'm totally not being fake right now. But I just want you to know that if you're faking it, everyone else can see it. Everyone else knows. Why? Because we're all human. We all have weaknesses. We've all been there. In Luke chapter 18, this is what Jesus says. Jesus told a story to some people who were sure that they were right with God. They looked down on everybody else. He said to them, two men went up to the temple to pray. So he's telling the story. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee. The other was a tax collector. Now let's time out. Neither of these people were well liked. Now the people that Jesus was talking to were most likely Pharisees because they saw themselves as being superior. And nobody liked tax collectors then and now. Okay? No, hey, have my money for nothing. I mean, granted, it's for something. And, you know, what's it called? Civics and engagement. There's good stuff for tax. But nobody likes them anyway. Sorry. So he says, one was a Pharisee, the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up. Now, they're at the temple. We already talked about the temple was the place where they worshiped. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other people, he said. I am not like robbers or those who do other evil things. I am not like those who commit adultery. I'm not even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. Pharisee saying, look, God, I am awesome. I'm awesome. God, thank you that I'm so wonderful and incredible. Meanwhile, everyone around him could tell that he was fake. But then he goes on and says, but the tax collector stood not very far away. He would not even look up to heaven. He beat his chest and said, God, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. See, even though the tax collector was despised in the eyes of people, he went to God and said, look, I've got nothing, God. All I need is, all I've got is you. Have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Now, Jesus then concludes and says, I tell you, the tax collector went home accepted by God, but not the Pharisee. For everyone who lifts himself up will be brought down. And anyone who is brought down will be lifted up. And see this parable right away. The Pharisees, the ones who were Jesus was talking to, the ones who thought they were superior to everyone else, Jesus totally calls them out because they didn't think that was them. And then Jesus says, no, look, it's not about being better than other people thinking that you're better. Because everybody can see right through you, Pharisees. You're a fake. And the question is, what about you? Are you a Pharisee? Are you fake? Like, do you look good today? And I'm not talking about your outfit and your makeup and your pretty smelling deodorant. I'm talking about
in here that people think, yeah, that person's got it together. Meanwhile, you're a fake.
And you go to the mirror and you're like, yeah, I look pretty good. And everybody else around you is like, you're faking it. And we need to be real. We need to be able to be transparent. And let me tell you guys, this week in Prime Groups, you're doing a discussion guide. All that's what Prime Groups do. In addition to building relationships, building community, you're going to discuss the point and talk about applying it and what we've talked about today. And one of the things you're going to do is have a chance to look deep and be transparent. Welcome to the first week. Let's dive right in. And maybe this is something you need to confess, that you have been faking it. And you have been pretending to be something that you're not. And everybody else is like, yeah, we knew that. But let's be real with ourselves. So the first thing is that fake is obvious. The second thing, the second benefit of being real is that fake is obnoxious. Fake is obnoxious. Someone that is fake, it is just frustrating. Because, again, this idea that somehow they are superior to everyone else. They are perfect. And they have no issues. They have no sin. They have no struggles. When we know, we all do. All have sinned. All fall short of God's glory. We all have weaknesses. We all have failings. And when we go and pretend that we don't, it's not just obvious to everyone around us. It's obnoxious because we're lying. We're lying to ourselves and we're lying to God. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, John writes this. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, the Him being Jesus. He says, God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. So get it. You can't be standing in a bright light and not be bright. You can't say, I'm out in the sun, and you're hiding in a dark closet. Like, you can't do both. If you claim to have fellowship with God, then you're going to be in the light. If we say that, and we're in the darkness, we're lying. The truth, we do not live in the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. We kind of come all in this together. He goes on and says, if we claim to be without sin, next slide. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, and by the way, this is just to clarify this, we talked about this in one of our series a few months ago, or a few years ago. This isn't just the issue of, like, you better make sure you confess every sin. But this idea of just, I am a sinner, are we admitting it, or are we not? So it's not like you need to have a list, make sure you confess everything that you've done, or, you know, you're not going to be forgiven. This idea of admitting and openly admitting sin. So he says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. We're lying. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So just be open about it, because that's what God wants to do. He wants to clean us out. He wants to fix our ailments. He wants to deal with our bad shoulder. But we need to be open and allow Him to do that. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. So not only do we lie to ourselves by being fake and pretend that we're fine, that we have no sin, that we have no issues, but now we're saying God is lying too. And when Jesus, when Paul says to accept one another just as Christ has accepted us, if we say, well, I don't need to be accepted, I'm fine, now you're saying God's lying. So that's, in my opinion, obnoxious. So benefits of being real: fake is obvious, fake is obnoxious, and finally, fake is oblivious. And this is the scary one. This is the mirror problem. This is the vampire issue. And that is that when we are fake, again, we usually can't see it. And when we can't see it, when we think we're okay, then we don't get the help we need. Again, thinking it from a practical standpoint, if you have a physical ailment, and you think you're fine and don't go to get help, it's not going to help. But a lot of times people, when we are fake, we're oblivious to what we really need. So in John chapter 8, Jesus was talking to these guys, probably Pharisees as well. They were getting on Jesus' case about following the rules and everything. And at the end of this little conversation, they said to Jesus, "We aren't illegitimate children. God Himself is our true Father. Jesus, get off our case because God is our Father." Well, Jesus told them, "If God were your Father, you would love me because I have come to you from God. I'm not here on my own, but He sent me." Fair enough. "You would love me because I am sent from the Father. I'm the Son of God." He says, "Why can't you understand what I'm saying?" It's because you can't even hear me. He says, "You're not getting it because you're so caught up in how perfect you are that you're not even hearing what I'm saying, that you're missing what's going on because you are fine." He says, "You are children of your father, the devil, not God, the true Father, but the devil is your father, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was always a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth to him. When he lies, it is consistent." Next slide. "It is consistent with his character. For he is a liar and the father of lies." So they're saying, "Our father is God." And he's saying, "No, your father is the devil." He says, So when I tell the truth, you just naturally don't believe me. "Which of you can truthfully accuse me of sin? And since I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. But you don't listen because you don't belong to God." And so you've got this group of people walking around in Jesus' time saying, "Well, good, we've got it all together. We are perfect. We are following the rules. We are following the law." And Jesus says, "You totally don't get it. You're completely oblivious to your need. To your need for a Savior. To your need for help. To your need for healing, because you've missed it." So fake is obvious, fake is obnoxious, fake is oblivious. The point is, on my watch, I will be real with others. We need to be real. We need to let other people in and risk, it's risky, and risk that they may hurt you. They may take advantage of that. But that risk is worth it, because if we don't ever let anyone in, we're never going to get the help. On my watch, I will be real with others. And then there's a verse in James that I think... Do I have another slide there? I think I have one more. Here we go. It's in James chapter 5. And James is talking about some of the issues, that the struggles that people are going through, and they're physical and spiritual and all sorts of things. And he says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." And I believe this passage is more than just a physical healing. But there are emotional and spiritual issues and scars that we're dealing with, and we're not willing to share them. And James says, look, share them. Be real with other followers of Jesus. Get into a group. James doesn't say get into a prime group. But get into a group with people where you have that opportunity to do it in a safe environment, that you're not throwing off the person that's waiting on you at the restaurant when you suddenly bare your soul. But he says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There's the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. If we're willing to be open, we're willing to be real, and share that with other people, they can be praying for us. They can be helping us through that. They can say, yeah, I've been there. I can help you. And that is what God has called us to as the church, as followers of Jesus, to be in community, to be in deep, meaningful, transparent, authentic relationships. And that's what you need to be involved in. And if you're not signed up for a prime group, sign up for one. If you're none of those times will work for you, talk to me, and man, I'll make it. We'll make something happen. Because we believe in that deeply. But they're out there on the info table, because we need to have that opportunity to connect. And you're going to be able to get into your prime groups this week and start chewing on some of these things and start opening up and sharing and letting someone come alongside you and say, look, I'm here for you. Let me pray with you through this. Let's enjoy the journey together and celebrate what God is doing and glorify God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. And I know it's easy for us culturally, personally, because we've been burned, to be fake, to put on masks and to be something that we're not. God, I just pray in a way that we might know mentally the benefits of being real. But I pray that your Holy Spirit would show us and change us from the inside to allow us to open up and to be transparent and to share the issues that we have with the people around us that have issues also, so that together we can bear these burdens, together we can build each other up, together we can overcome by your strength, your encouragement, your perseverance, and ultimately give you glory because we've allowed you to change us to become more like Jesus. And I pray that that would happen in us at MC3, so that we can reflect Jesus more and more every day, so that we can stand in the light and it be obvious to everyone else. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.